Hi guys, before we get started with this week's episode, we just have a little bit of news for you.
Oh yes.
We do. The news is that we now have a dedicated section on the official Manchester United app just for our podcast. Mayzad, go on it. Loving it?
Yes, loving it.
We know what you're thinking. Why should I move my favourite podcast app all the way over to a new app? Well, two reasons. Reason one is that you will get the podcast a whole 24 hours earlier.
I think that's a really good reason.
That's 24 hours earlier than everywhere else. And you can be first in line to hear every new episode.
Yeah, and reason number two is it allows us to bring you so much more than just the episode. So if we talk about goals, you'll be able to see the goals within the app. And you'll also see associated articles and something a lot of people have requested. You'll be able to watch more episodes of the podcast all in one place, which to me seems sensational.
Mm-hmm. But if you're not convinced and want to stay where you are, that's fine too. We'll still bring you our pods right here every week as usual.
Right here, right now. But also, if you're on the app, you won't have to sit through us telling you all this every time.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, because this is going to get repeated if you're listening on something else, but not on the app. Anyway, that's it. The official Manchester United app now has a podcast section. Loads going on in there. Check it out now. On with this episode.
Download the app.
Oh, it's in! United score, Phil Jones! Phil Jones with his first goal in professional football, and he scores it in front of the whole 10 for Manchester United, and it's Villa nil, United 1.
And it's Phil Jones who fires United into the lead!
It is Van Persie, whips it in. Great header, great goal, Phil Jones!
Here's Jones! Oh, lovely header! Beautifully placed there. Only one place he could have put it, and he put it there.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Manchester United podcast. I'm Helen Evans and joining me is...
So I say my name, Sam Homewood. There you go, very Sam formal. Homewood. We don't have David May.
Just the two of us today.
Yeah, he's golfing.
Shock.
We're really surprised regular listeners that we don't have Maisie because he's golfing.
I know, he's up in Scotland for a few days.
It's a real shame he's missing this one because the player we're talking to has a fairly similar career history.
Very started true. Blackburn.
At, yeah, Blackburn, Manchester United, wears the number four shirt.
Very true. I think Maisie would have liked to have been here for this one, but yep. He's not here. We are at Carrington at the Manchester United training ground. In the background, you might hear some lawnmowers. We can certainly smell the nice...
Yeah, we've got a lovely view over.
Smell, yeah, almost of grass.
Of where they've been training. It looks great.
It does look fantastic. It's nice to be here too, because we haven't been here for a long time.
No, it's been ages. Obviously, we've got our masks and did a lateral flow test this morning to make sure we don't bring anything in because all the players are about. And we're in a lovely room in the Jimmy Murphy Centre. We've sort of got like wood panelling and stuff, haven't we? Mm,
very posh.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice little setup for us.
And of course, we're talking to Phil Jones.
Phil Jones today.
Who you know quite well, right?
Yes, I do. Phil's been at the club for 10 years. Mm-hmm. He came, obviously, when Johnny was here, and he made his debut alongside Johnny, actually, at centre-back.
Would you have been at that game?
Sam, I can't remember that. I have no idea. I can't remember. I probably was, but I can't really remember.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Phil is a great guy and one of the longest-serving Manchester United players, along with David.
Mata would be next. Yeah, I don't know what the rule is now with Ronaldo because he was the earliest. But of course he...
Well, technically Tom Heaton.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Paul Pogba.
Yeah, another one.
It all gets
one.
A bit messy when we're talking these stats.
We're very confused. There's a few players that have had a few loans, so it makes it more...
Messi's not in it.
Makes it more complicated, doesn't it? But someone I think with a really interesting story to tell, another player who's been able to play in so many different positions and be so incredibly effective, but also, of course, has had so many injuries and has missed games because of that and has seasons disrupted, but a Premier League winner, a Europa League winner, an FA Cup winner. Mm-hmm. He's played in two World Cups. He's played in the European Championships. He's scored in the Champions League. He's
quite
done
a CV,
all right,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And played under five different managers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'm interested to hear Phil's story.
Well, let's get him on then.
Yep, let's do it.
Please welcome Phil Jones.
Phil, welcome to the Manchester United podcast. How are you?
Good, very good, thank you.
Good, great to have you on. How are you with your recovery at the moment? Tell us a bit about your injury and what you've been through.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling good at the minute. Obviously, I've been through hell and back over the last couple of years. Struggled with my knee a little bit. And it became a point after lockdown where I thought enough was enough. Kept myself in great shape over lockdown, came back. I remember just training out here and... Yeah, I just went into the doctor, said enough's enough. So unfortunately, that was going to be time out and time off the pitch, which I knew at the time was going to be difficult for me, but it was something that I had to do. And, thankfully, I'm see the light at the end of the tunnel now, and I've been back training and played a few behind closed doors games, and I'm feeling really good at the minute. So good to be back out training with the lads and enjoying being a footballer again.
You just pointed behind you and said how much you're enjoying me back out there. How was training this morning? Because obviously we're doing this having you just finished training.
Yeah, great. Like I said, just every time I go on the pitch now is such a nice feeling, because you've missed it for so long, and it's like, you know, to have something that you love doing just being ripped away from you is tough at the best of times. But, you know, when you're watching all the lads going out to training every day and everybody's asking you every single day, how is it? How are you progressing? And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, shut up.
How difficult is that, though, for a player mentally to watch people going out and doing what you want to be doing every day, but you can't do it?
Tough. I mean, I think that's, as a footballer and as a person, as a human being, that's the lowest I've probably ever felt in my life. You know, you try and get a balance. I think every footballer will tell you the same thing. Try and get a balance between football and family life and stuff. But it was so difficult going home and trying to, you know, look after the kids. But you're there, but you're not there. You're not present, you know. Mm. So it's nice to get that balance back and enjoy being back again.
Do you think as well, whenever you're injured on the sidelines, you maybe don't feel, even though you're part of the team, it doesn't feel the same, you know, when the team wins or the team loses? Is it a bit different when you're on the sidelines?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think at first, I'll be brutally honest, I found it really tough to watch football, mm-hmm. Just in general, because you can't do anything about it. You're stuck, you're off your feet, you can't, coming into the training ground every day, it's hard to get going, and because you're going to be out for so long. And I knew that getting the operation, but you know, thankfully I have a good team around me, good family, friends, and I got through it.
And now you're in a point where, like, we know, but people listening might not know, that you're the first at training every day. Is that because of that enthusiasm that you're back and you're ready and you want to be out there?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't do it to get a medal every day to say that I'm the first in and first in the car park. I do it because I have to do it. And I know I need to give myself time in the morning and preparation to get myself right to train. And I give myself the best possible chance every day to be outside and train with the lads and be on the pitch. And, you know, I've been doing that for the last 6 or 7 weeks that I've been back now. And, you know, I've got more into a routine now, and mm-hmm. it's just nice to be back.
And you've played a couple of games as well. How's that been, playing a match?
Yeah, brilliant. I think I played half an hour against Burnley behind closed doors. I played 60 minutes against Stoke behind closed doors, both at Old Trafford, and then last week I played in the under-23s away at Arsenal, which was great, you know. Great to be involved, great to get the feeling of the stiffness after the game, and you can't sleep, and it was brilliant.
So you actually missed all those things?
Yeah, you miss feeling stiff in the morning, you miss not being able to sleep after a game, you're wide awake because of the amount of, you know, gels you've it's difficult. You go home after the game and you try and lie in bed, even if it's an early kickoff, and you just send yourself crazy just thinking about the game and thinking about chances you created or things you could have done better in, or, you know, every footballer is their own worst critic, you know.
You talked about how hard it's been in those moments where you've not been able to play and maybe you weren't watching football. How hard was it when people are talking about you? Like, because you said, like, people, when they're talking to you, they're saying things, oh, when are you going to get out there? And in your head, you're saying, come on, just shut up. How difficult is it when people are on the outside, like pundits and stuff, are talking about you and using your name when you're just trying to get yourself fit?
Difficult, very difficult. I mean, I've stepped away from social media a long time ago, but it's difficult because all your friends read it, your family read it, and they're, you know, they support you. They want the best for you. They don't want to see their mate, their husband, their dad getting slaughtered all over the papers or all over the media. So it's tough because, you know, mentally I was going through a tough time, and to read stuff as well. I always say footballers don't have a voice. Mm. Your voice comes when you finish playing football and no one really cares anymore. So it's difficult, but it's something that I've learned to deal with over the time I've, especially being at United. And, you know, the more experience you get, the older you get, the better you learn to deal with those things. But I suppose for young players coming into the game now, not just at Man United, but, you know, all over the world, it's a very hostile, toxic place to come into, and they've got to be able to deal with that mentally as well as physically.
You just said there that you came off social media a long time ago. Do you think part of that is as well from the fact that maybe you're from the old school mentality. There wasn't social media as much whenever you were coming through your youth system at Blackburn, and definitely not as much under Sir Alex Ferguson. So it's been easier for you to step back from it in that aspect?
Yeah, I think I'm definitely old fashioned when it comes to things like that. I mean, I look how the game's been developed over the time, over the last 10 years, and the way that social media's developed, and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and all these social media sites, it's difficult to stay away from it. It's difficult to not get detracted by it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, I think young players coming into the game, I think it's very difficult for them mm-hmm. for not to read it. And I know as a young player, that's the first thing you do is mm-hmm. you come off the game, you want to see what people are saying about you. And when you strip it all back in reality, it doesn't really matter what they say. It doesn't really matter because they're not picking the team. They're not telling you, mm-hmm. you know.
And you mentioned who's picking the team. It must have felt good, because I'm sure you've had chats in private, but a couple of weeks ago in his press conference when Ollie spoke about you so passionately.
Yeah, no, that was really nice. It was, you know, I spoke to him after. I said, you know, thank you for the words, because it meant a lot. It really did, because there's nothing more than being a footballer for someone to managers, staff, coaches, players to have your back, and to feel really supported by him was a nice feeling. You know, at the time I needed that, and it was nice.
Have you ever felt over the last while, you know, I'd love to come out and say something on social media, but obviously you've held yourself back? Is that quite frustrating? And what is the reason why you've maybe done that?
Good question. I just feel like I'm better than that now. Mm-hmm. I'm wiser to it. I'm not, you know, someone's dangling a carrot out waiting for a bite or something like that. You know, like I said, it's been difficult, but you know, I've learned to deal with it. It's something that's, for some reason, maybe I get more than others, but you know, I'm sure everybody would say the same thing. So, but people will say that's part of being a footballer. So, take it as it mm-hmm. comes.
Well, we are delighted to have you back. We actually had an interview with John O'Shea recently. I'm just going to get straight onto the Manchester United career, because the trophies that you've won at this club is incredible on your CV. And we spoke to John O'Shea, and he was talking about being a versatile player, and that's definitely what you've done over your time at Manchester United. What's your thoughts about that and playing in all those different positions over your time?
Yeah, I think definitely you mentioned Shazier there, definitely when I came to United, just to play on the pitch was just like, I don't care where I play, you put me in goal. Like, it was just an amazing experience to beat United. I never thought growing up as a kid, you know, at Blackburn and the academy, that I would ever play for Man United.
I'm just going to interrupt you there, actually, because our cameraman is a Blackburn fan. Not sure if you know him, but he told us before you came in that you were called Superman Phil Jones
yeah.
at Blackburn. Are you aware that you got that title?
Yeah, no, it was, I love my time at Blackburn. I've got such a great connection with the club. I know I follow them still now, you know. If it's the first team, obviously our result, but it's the first result I look for after we play. You know, I enjoyed many great years there, you know, as a kid growing up through the youth team, then into the reserves, and then finally making my debut at Blackburn was, you know, I made my debut against Chelsea at home in the Premier League, against Didier Drogba, Nicolas Anelka, Malouda, Kalou, John Terry, Frank Lampard, Ashley Cole. Like, I remember standing in the tunnel before the game, I was thinking, my God, like, didn't even know what to think or do. But no, I enjoyed my time. And then obviously coming to Man United was such a special feeling.
I would just have those listening. You were 18 in that game and you drew 1-1, right?
Yeah, 1-1.
And I think, did you feel that you were like a big game player at 18, because you had a really good record and you always got a lot of praise in your early games at Blackburn when you come up against the big teams, like it happened with United, even in the, it 7-1 that game, the Berbatov scored 5?
Thanks for reminding me of that one.
Yeah, but there was so much praise for you afterwards, yeah, even though weird. The score
I used to have like a joke with my mates, like at the time at Blackburn, for whatever reason, as soon as the game was on TV, because at Blackburn we weren't on TV that much, but as soon as we play Man United, Chelsea or Arsenal, Liverpool, whenever the game was on TV, I used to always come out being man of the match, or it was weird, and I'd play okay against like the lesser teams. But no, I had great memories there.
That says a lot about you personally, though, that you stood up to the big teams and the big players, and that's probably what Sir Alex seen in you? Well, I know it is, and that's how you ended up here. I'm just going to go back to your Blackburn days. At what age were you when you started in the academy there?
I think I was in, I'd just gone into year six or whatever age that was at the time. Year six, is that
10, nine, 10, 10, 10 11, yeah. Something like that.
And was that your team growing up?
Yeah, so it was my team. I used to go on every game, and my dad carried me over the turnstiles just so we didn't have to pay £2 to get a ticket. So try and
take
be
that
a,
bit out.
But no, it was fun. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. Who were your heroes?
So I used to look up to people like David Dunn, because he'd come through the academy as well, and I'd seen him come through, and he was like, you know, at the time he used to play in midfield as well. I wasn't a centre half, and you know, players, just the whole Blackburn team in general, used to have Matt Janssen up front and like Morten Gams Pedersen, who had a wonderful left foot. And I remember he haunted United a couple of times at Old Trafford, where he scored, I think he scored two, and we won 2-1 at the time. But yeah, not like iconic players, but they were special to me because I'd grown up watching Blackburn all my life.
Mm-hmm. And did you go to the games as a child?
Yeah, all the time. We had a season ticket in the...
Well, you didn't pay for yours, but your dad had one.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't pay for 5 years. But no, yeah, we used to home and away, and I could try to get to as many away games as possible as well. Mm-hmm.
So when United came knocking, did that feel like, oh, this is really exciting? Was there an emotional part of you? Because obviously you loved Blackburn, that you wanted to stay, and were United the only club that had come in for you?
No, so it was a funny story, really, because I'd literally seen every other club. Mm-hmm. That lawnmower distracts me.
Yeah, no,
that?
Just really. There's two going past each other at one time.
That's okay. Everyone knows where we are. We're at Carrington. They're cutting the grass. That's fine.
No, so it was a funny story. So I'd met quite a few teams. I'd met Everton. I'd met all the teams, basically, in the top six. And I was fortunate. I had the pick. But United hadn't come in for me. And that was, I remember saying to my agent, like, United not showing any interest or anything like that. And he was just like, but look at the clubs that have come in for you, sort of thing. So I remember being in Dubai with my Kaya, wife at the time. And I think it was the morning, we were just getting ready to go down for breakfast. And I'd got a couple of missed calls, but I never answer missed calls. Never answer missed calls.
From a strange number,
from
you
a strange
mean?
Number. So it rang again straight after the first missed call. And Kaya was like, you're gonna have to answer that. So I've answered it and I'm like, hello. And then obviously Sir Alex is down the phone going, he said, Phil, Sir Alex here. And I was like, and I just froze. And I remember obviously at the time Kai was like, who is it? On the phone, who is it? Tell me, put it on loudspeaker. I was like, so he just said, came on and he said, you know, we'd really love to have you at the club. Be great if I could come and meet you and speak to you. And we'd love to have you at Man United. So I was on the phone for 5 minutes back and forth. And I think we had a few days left.
Well, did you believe that it was him? Because you said that you hadn't heard any.
Yeah, I'd not heard anything. But when he rang it, like, I obviously knew how he sounded and how he, you know, it was no joke. Like,
yeah, but we've talked to so many players. I know. Always think, this isn't.
Well, it would have been a great joke if it had happened, because it had completely sold me. So no, that was that. So then I remember saying to Kyra at the time, then that's it, I'm just going to have to get back and we're going to have to cut our holiday short. She was like, I don't think she understood at the time, like, we was only young at the time, I was only 18 years old, I don't think she understood the impact it was going to have. Anyway, so we flew back the next day, and then I met my agent, and then we flew out to Nice, I want to say. He had a place in Nice, so he was on holiday in Nice at the time, flew out there. Remember that the conversation I was so nervous. And remember the conversation I had when I walked in, I stayed downstairs and obviously my agent went upstairs with David Gill, and they had a conversation, and he never asked me one football question, like, towards the end. He's just asking me, how are my grades in school? How are my mum and dad? Have I got a girlfriend? Any children? And how's my lifestyle and friends and stuff like that? And I thought, but it just flowed. Do you know what I mean? It was just natural. It wasn't like, and I'd met other clubs and stuff, and it was just very awkward, very, like, what do I say next? And I was only young, so I was expecting somebody else to start the conversation.
Yeah, of course.
And it just flowed, and I remember walking out, and I just said to my agent, I said, I don't care what your conversation was like up there. I said, I'm going to Man United. I don't want to go anywhere else. And they were the last club, and then then the day later I had to decide, but I'd already made my decision anyway, and that was it. The rest was history.
Mm-hmm. And then you were straight off on, how long did you have? Because you went on tour, didn't you, to America?
No, so I went to, I had to speak to Stuart Pearce at the under-21s because we had the under-21 championships away in Denmark. So I remember Jordan Henderson at the time as well. He was signing for Liverpool. So we both went on a plane. So we both met up and we both went on a plane to the 21s championships, which we were shocking him. We had such a good team. We didn't win a game. I think we played against David at the time for Spain.
All right.
So yeah, that was the story.
And then the tour came, right? Because that must have been a big, I guess, a big jump from being at Blackburn to then heading out to America, with just from when we've spoken to other players that have done those tours.
Huge, yes. I remember being on the plane with Tom Cleverley, Danny Welbeck, and Chris Smalling and me. And we flew out separately to meet them on tour. I think it was in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I remember my first training session. I was like so quick. So I was just, I don't think I touched the ball in the 30-minute session. And I remember Sir Alex Ferguson, he just pulled me at the side afterwards and just said, he said, don't worry, son. He said, you'll get to grips with the pace of the game. And the first game was Chicago, which was 2 o'clock, unbelievable heat. It was ridiculous. The subs got told to warm up in the changing room. It was that hot. And I, after 55 minutes, I think me and another lad got brought off, and I'd never been so happy in my life to come off in a game of football. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't function. It was so hot. And you know, it's your first game, so you're really trying to impress.
Did Sir Alex say to you when you had those meetings and conversations with him what he had seen in you? Why he wanted you at United?
Yeah, he told me about the qualities that he thought I had and why. And then obviously as time progressed, as I played, people were saying that it was, you know, the game where we lost 7-1 at United. Mm-hmm. I think Berber scored about 5 goals that game. Mm-hmm. He liked my character and stuff like that. So
it made you feel comfortable going into the setup that, yeah, I deserve to be here.
Yeah, definitely. And there's always that thing in the back of your mind coming to, I was at Blackburn, like, no disrespect to Blackburn, but it's not Manchester United. And the quality of players is not Manchester United. So I was always had in the back of my mind, God, am I going to be good enough? Am I going to fit in? What are they going to be like? All the senior lads you had, you know, the likes of Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes, Wayne Rooney, like, and I was just like, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. But no, fitted in great. They were brilliant with me.
I suppose as well, Chris Smalling went that summer with you. I know he'd signed in the Christmas, but he eventually came in the summer, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did that make you feel a little bit more at ease that you had someone who was a new starter?
I didn't, because I think he actually signed the year before me, I think. And he'd played a year. So, but I obviously knew Chris from the 21s.
He did play a year. We just looked at that and thought he played the same year.
No, I signed in the 2011-12 season. He signed in the 2010-11 season. So he'd played that season. But it was nice because I did know a lot of the lads, so it was nice for me to come into knowing them as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that helped you a lot? Definitely, going on the tour, for example?
Yeah, especially being so young and coming to a club like Man United, it helped me massively that.
Yeah.
And do you remember your Premier League debut for United at Old Trafford and who you played alongside?
Yeah, I do.
Wait, which one?
I just read it earlier. I didn't know myself.
Yeah. How do you not know that?
Well, you didn't know.
Well, I just told you.
Yeah, you weren't sure.
No, so I remember the first ever game was the Community Shield.
Yeah, City, right?
So that was crazy. So I was on the bench for that game. And then I think it was 2-0 down. Mm. So I think he thought priority is the first game of the season now. So he swapped a few lads around at half-time. Like, I didn't come on thinking I was coming on to change a game. I definitely wasn't. I came on at centre-back. So me, Chris, and I want to say Nani came on at half-time, or he might have started anyway. So we're 2-0 down and we scored a goal, got one back straight away, got another one back, and then Nani's done that, the dink over the keeper, and made it 3-2. And that was just the first taste of like what it actually was like at United. I was just like, thousands of fans at Wembley. Albeit it was the charity Community Shield, but you know, it was a trophy at the end of the day. But yeah, then the game after that was West Brom in the first game of the season, and Rio and Vida both come off injured in that game. So obviously I was going to start the next game. So I started with Johnny at the back, And then we won 3-0, I remember, against Tottenham. Danny Welbeck scored the first goal, the header, it came over.
You have to do that when you're doing a header.
It's like that in the bill.
So what was it like being at Old Trafford wearing a red shirt rather than the blue and white of Blackburn?
Yeah, seeing your name and strange feeling, but it happens so quick that you don't have time to, as a young kid, you don't think about things, you just go and play. You're more thinking about sometimes what you're going to have for dinner when you go out, food and that. You're not thinking, like, as you're older you get, the more you think about the game and your opponents and who you're playing against and what they do and what they're good at. But I remember it was a crazy atmosphere, and yeah, they had Gareth Bale then, so all the talk was about him and what he's going to do and stuff. But yeah, we got clean sheet and won 3-0.
Talk to us about the pride that your family and friends felt as well when they've been on that footballing journey with you. I know a lot of your friends are still your friends from school, for example, and your family and Kaya. What was that moment like for them, sharing it with you?
Yeah, surreal, just surreal. Like, you know, I don't think they could really comprehend that I'm a United player now. And simple things like when I was on social media, you'd see your followers go from 20,000 to 1.8 million or something like that. It just shows the impact that the global support that United has around the world. And it was only when I went on tour that you actually realise how big they are. But yeah, for family and friends, watching me go to United was such a they almost felt the same that I was feeling. You know, it was such a special feeling for them.
And you got your first goal in a 1-0 win at Villa.
Yeah.
And you were playing midfield that day, I think.
Yeah, playing midfield, yeah.
I guess the first question is, what was it like to score, and also it being the only goal of the game?
Yeah, well, I think the training session before, I'd had a shocker, was doing shooting, and I didn't score a goal. I was all doing shooting practice and couldn't score. So like, I think the coaching staff were having a bit of banter with me. So then obviously I played it out wide in the game, Nani's crossed it and I volleyed it in the net. So they were all like laughing and joking. I could see him pointing, so funny.
Who was the decision maker in terms of you becoming a defender then? Was that obviously later in your career?
Well, I think Sir Alex Ferguson always seen me as a defender, but because we had so many good defenders at the club, that he saw the potential that he could use me in different positions. I played right back quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I absolutely hated right back, hated it. Because if you come up against a tricky winger who's quick and wants to run, and it's difficult when you're not a right back, but you know, I didn't mind playing there and now and again. And yeah, I thought it was good at the time to play different positions, but I always knew in my head that I'd be a defender. Mm-hmm. Always knew.
You mentioned when we sat down and we were just chatting before, you know, everything started recording, that you saw Sir Alex at his film premiere, I guess earlier this year.
Yeah.
And he mentioned then the game against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, where you played, just absolutely bossed it.
Yeah, it was really nice, that, because I'd met him for the premiere, but I'd not seen him in 2 years or whatever. So, and was with a few of the other lads, and for him just to say that was just like, oh yeah, he's not forgotten. They're not forgotten about you, sort of thing. They understand like what you did, because you don't really get a chance to look back at your career. Only when you finished do you do that. But it was nice. He mentioned like how well I played, and it was a nice feeling.
But is that a game that, I know you said like you don't look back until you finish everything, but just while we're chatting, is that a game that you remember fondly?
Yeah, definitely. That's probably one of the standout games that I played for Man United, was away at the Bernabeu. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo was playing for them at the time, and I remember the manager said to me, wherever he goes, you follow him. So I went up for corners, on our corners, just to be able to run back with him. I didn't go up to try and score or anything. It was just so that I ran back before he ran back. Just to make sure that he didn't, on the counter attack, wasn't there. It was just, yeah, it was a crazy game.
Obviously, you mentioned Ronaldo and he's back now. I mean, what's it been like training with him?
Yeah, incredible. It's incredible to have him back at the club. He's a legend here. Fans love him. You can see that in his first game back at Old Trafford. Just the way he conducts himself in and around the training ground, and just the aura he has when he's here. You know, nice human being, first and foremost, because people don't realise that he's just a human being at the end of the day. He might be an incredible footballer and the best in the world, but, you know, he's a dad. You know, people just forget all that sort of stuff. So no, it's great to have him back. Mm-hmm.
And he joins you as one of only three players now at Old Trafford to have won the Premier League here. Do you feel that, I don't want to say burden of responsibility, but like that role as one of the more senior players? Because obviously we're in this chat talking about you as a very young man. But as we are right now, do you feel like are you going over to younger players, maybe like senior players used to do with you?
Yeah, I don't think I'd go out my way to speak to young players. I'm sort of the guy, if they want to speak to me, I'm open to speak to them. Like, I don't want to force them into conversations they don't want to have. But yeah, I'd like to think that if a young player came to me, I'd like to give them sound advice and on problems that I've faced throughout my career that they're going to face or they're going to go through. Mm-hmm. But I think there's loads of experienced players in the dressing room now. So that's, I think that's what makes our team so good at the minute, that experience is massive.
Did you have one of those players whenever you were younger, a player that you spoke to maybe off the pitch or?
Yeah, I think Nemanja Vidic was good. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the times I had with him and on the pitch and stuff. Loved watching him play. Mm-hmm. Giggsy was good as well. Giggsy was very good with me.
Because you came into a very experienced dressing room, didn't you?
Oh, huge. We had
those
huge,
players were kind of towards the end of their careers.
Huge characters in the dressing room. So, you know, daunting at the same time, but they were so open at the same time, which was made my life much easier.
Was it a little bit intimidating? Those are players you've watched
For sure.
as a child growing up.
For sure.
And they're still at Man United.
For sure. These are the players that you'd looked up to and, you know, people talk about all over the world. So to play with them was unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
What was it like to win the Premier League?
Special, yeah. Very, very special. Like, I just go back to it again as a kid. If you'd have told me that I'd have won the Premier League at Man United it's just, you know, so there's some things I get that quite a lot of players these days win the Premier League and stuff, but there's so many players that will never come, who are good players, who will never come close to winning the Premier League. And to win the Premier League, to have that on your CV, I remember the game, and I remember being in the hotel the night before we played Villa on a night game. We'd won. Didn't matter who was playing, we'd won. We'd just itching to play the game. And it gives you goosebumps now just thinking about the fans when, you know, Wazza plays the ball over to Robin and he's volleyed that one into the net, and just Old Trafford just erupted, and it was just, you know, crazy feeling at such a young age to win the Premier League. And I just wish, looking back, that I'd enjoyed it a little bit more. He was a bit naive, a bit young, and, you know, you go and do something else, forget about it, but maybe that comes with experience. But
yeah, but do you think that's because you won the Premier League so young? Because you were such a young player, it's, you know, if you say won the Premier League next year, you probably would appreciate a lot more.
I'd enjoy it, yeah. But yeah, probably would say that. Yeah, probably too young at the time. But what an experience! What something that'll live with me forever. That game, being able to say that we won the Premier League, got the medal. I want my kids to know that I've won the Premier League as well.
Was it bittersweet because so quickly after that happened, everybody then found out that that was going to be Sir Alex's final act?
Yeah, that was a shock. I remember coming in one morning that season and there was a few whispers about the, you know, it's Chinese whispers about the training ground, and there's been a few things on Twitter the night before. And anyway, they called a meeting in the changing room at 10 o'clock and then he sat us all down and told us that he was retiring. And I think I remember he apologised to a few of the new lads who had come in. Like, I think Robin was one of them, because he promised he'd probably been there for a few years, but and that was it. But obviously the lads totally understood why he was doing it, and, you know, what a man, what a human being, he's unbelievable.
But what did that feel like for you? Because I suppose, like all of us, you've grown up watching Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United, seeing players come through and the teams just be successful again and again and again. And I suppose you thought, well, I'm in for that now. And then, of course, he goes.
Yeah, it was a shock. I think it was a shock to everyone because he'd been at the club for so long and won so many things. And but then the talk obviously was who's going to come in, who's going to take over him. Names were being brandished about all over the place, but I didn't realise how big of an impact that was going to have on the team. And I just thought, well, we're still with the players, and, you know, we're still Man United. We're still gonna win. And a young player at the time, and the next season was really tough. I didn't realise the impact it had. And
did you kind of feel a bit sorry for David Moyes in that aspect, that he had to follow that? You probably didn't think it when he got hired, but after a few months, as you say, you didn't realise the impact. You thought, oh,
yeah,
it's pretty difficult to follow.
Whoever came in, I don't care what he'd won or where he'd been, was always going to be a massive, massive job to take over. And, you know, credit David Moyes, because he took that responsibility where many would have shied away from the opportunity. Maybe not shied away, but would have been, you know, it'd have been a daunting experience to take over charge at Man United when we had such high profile players in the squad. Like we said before, there was huge characters in there. Lawnmower's killed us again.
Yeah, it's actually four now.
But it wasn't to be, and I think that was the start of the transition. I know everyone calls it the transition period, and we was in it for quite a while, and everyone, you know, the fans and everybody, it was tough at the time, tough to watch, mm-hmm. tough to go to the games, not getting great results, and I'd like to think we're now out of that transition period and we've got a terrific squad.
Did you have good relationships with the managers up to now? Like, did you get on well with Louis van Gaal? Because obviously, as you said, it was different styles of football all the time. But were you able to enjoy it still?
Yes, I enjoyed playing football no matter what. It was tough, mm-hmm. very tough, because we weren't getting the results we needed to. We weren't getting results the fans wanted us mm-hmm. to. We knew that we weren't playing well. We knew that we weren't good enough in games.
Yeah.
But it wasn't for a lack of effort. It wasn't for a lack of trying. It was just, for whatever reason, new manager, different ideas, different players playing out of positions, players not being available to play, new players coming in. It was always going to be tough, and it was always going to take time to recover. Yeah.
And I suppose, I've just thought of this, there's a slightly weird parallel. You won the Premier League, and then Sir Alex leaves, and then you won the FA Cup, and Louis left.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I remember... Yeah, we won against... Who did we beat? Was it...
Palace,
so we did, when Jesse scored that wonder yeah. goal. And then the next day he left, so... Football, that's football. Mm-hmm. As a footballer, you... It might come as a surprise to people outside of football more, but as a footballer, you just get on with it, because as unfortunate as it was for him, and people have their say in it and their opinions, we've just got to get on with it. And, you know, the season ended, we had to recover and come back the next season, and obviously Jose took over.
He was a big personality, obviously, Louis van Gaal, though, wasn't he? Did you enjoy playing under him? Enjoy his team talks, for example?
Yeah, he was a character, you know. He was, you know, I thought tactically he was terrific, mm-hmm. you know. I think... you can see why he's had the career he's had with the teams that he's managed, like Holland in the Euros or the World Cup a few years ago. So yeah, you can definitely. Yeah.
Were you playing in the Arsenal game where he did his dive?
No, I was in. No, I wasn't playing in it, but I remember seeing it on the touchline. It was, but that was him. Yeah. That's what made him Louis van Gaal, and no one would change that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
What did it feel like to win the FA Cup?
Yeah, it was, again, winning anything mm-hmm. is an incredible achievement, and this club have been used to winning so many things all over the years, so
but that was one trophy that so many were missing out on, so many of the senior players, so that meant a lot to them as well.
So that ticked a box for them, and winning any trophy is special, but obviously the Premier League one was definitely one that stood out for me.
Mm-hmm. And then you had time under Jose Mourinho. How was that period?
Yeah, again, just a manager coming in who had such a high profile. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew where he'd been, who he'd managed some of the great players, some unbelievable players. So, yeah, I didn't start too well under him. I think I didn't start the first few games, but then there was a few injuries, and then, you know, I got my chance. I think it was away at Swansea. Me and Marcus Rocco at the back, and I played a lot of games. Went on to play mm-hmm. quite a few games and enjoyed it. Mm-hmm.
There's a press conference that I saw recently where Jose's asked a question about injured players, and in it I don't think he's specifically asked about you. I think he's just asked anybody who was injured last week available this week, and he makes a real point of saying that he's managed obviously loads of teams and lots of players, and that you're the only player he's ever managed that has had injections to play in a friendly because of your level of dedication.
Yeah, I mean, people can call me stupid, crazy, obviously, but I just wanted to play. I want to impress. I want to play football. I want to enjoy playing football. It doesn't matter where I am, but yeah, it's something that probably I wouldn't do now because I'm more experienced and I'm more trying to look after myself much more, but yeah, I did it, and mm-hmm. I don't regret it.
No, but I think it only speaks about how determined you are as a player and how dedicated you are to the sport, I think.
Yeah, I dedicate my whole time I'm at football to try and play football and be available to play, and so no, I would do it again if I had to. Mm-hmm. Not in a friendly though.
So Jose obviously makes way. In comes Ollie. What was your opinion at the time? Do you remember him coming in and what you all thought in the changing room at the time? Obviously a club legend coming in to take over.
I think that's exactly what we needed at the time. Somebody who knew the club.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew the club inside out, played here for many years, won so many things. So that was important. And yeah, he was great. And then obviously he's done so well to sort of stamp his authority on the team and get the team to where he's got them now.
When you look back on the 10 years that you've had at Manchester United and the players that you've played with, particularly the defenders, are you proud of that?
Oh, 100%. It's something that nobody can take away from you, you know? People can make opinions, make assumptions, but mm-hmm. That makes me proud. To wear mm-hmm. the United shirt is a proud moment. To mm-hmm. beat United for 10 years is proud, you know? I've not just played under one manager for 10 years where mm-hmm. somebody might think, yep. well, oh, he's only playing there because the manager likes him. I played mm-hmm. under, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson, David Moyes, Jose Mourinho, Van Gaal, Ollie. So, you know, that makes me proud. It's something I'll look back and, you know, not many players are at a club like Man United for 10 years. So
I must also ask there as well, not just the managers, but the coaching staff. For example, we've seen Darren Fletcher, Michael Carrick, who you played with, is now on the coaching staff. What's that been like for you, working with them under a different capacity?
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, Carras has obviously been since Jose took over. He was the coach there. So they've all got ideas that they've learned over the time being at United. So, you know, you see some of the drills that we used to do or some of the drills that they've learned, and they've got so much experience, so much mm-hmm. more to give. And you can see that out on the pitch. You know, they're great with the lads, great with the young lads coming through, and, you know, they're a massive part of the team.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we've talked about all this with United, and you mentioned the managers you've played under, but then also there's people like Fabio Capello, who's another hugely successful coach. You've been at 2 World Cups, you've been at a European Championships. What's it like being in those environments with England? And I guess because you're at the most high-profile club in the world, I suppose you know what it's like to be in that kind of pressured situation anyway. Is it different on England duty?
Yeah, I think it was back then. I don't think so much now at England. I think there's a tight-knit group. I'm not saying we weren't tight. I'm saying it was more clicky, shall we say. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely something that I'm proud of. Mm-hmm. Definitely something I'm proud of. Not many people can say that they've been to 2 World Cups and played in 2 World Cups. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe I wasn't a starter and stuff like that, but to be one of those players mm-hmm. out of England that you got selected to go and represent your country at any level, especially the World Cup and the Euros, 2 World Cups and the Euros, was, again, it's something that I'm proud of. You know, I've got the shirts that I wore. Yeah, definitely a proud moment.
Mm-hmm. And then the second World Cup that you went to just sort of shows how difficult sometimes life can be as a footballer. You had your little girl was born and 2 days later you went off for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And that was it. That's very, very difficult for a father, a new baby in the house, and you're leaving your wife and your baby. And
yeah.
You know, people sometimes forget that aspect of football, I would say.
Yeah, they definitely forget
that. No paternity leave.
Yeah, no paternity. I don't think they get lost in the football. They get mm-hmm. lost in the image of football and the games and talking about football and stuff like that. But you don't realise that there's just a normal guy behind the football who goes home to his family, who takes his kids to the park but yeah, definitely. It gets mm-hmm. lost sometimes. But that was difficult. Like you said, it was tough, you know. She was just born and then I had to go straight to the World Cup in Russia. And then we got so far in the competition, mm-hmm. so we got to the semi-finals. We got knocked out to who was the team? Not Croatia. We beat Croatia. So to be away for 5 weeks away from your newly born first,
and your wife, of course, she's very vulnerable at the time.
Mm-hmm. And my wife was tough. That was a really tough period, but one that, you know, you look back on and you got through.
I think it's really great to listen to you talk about football and your career, because on the one hand, it's your CV is phenomenal and you've been really successful, but on the other, I can imagine lots of players wouldn't have made it this far because they'd have been so frustrated, because I guess you've had so many injuries that at times it must have felt really stop-start. Have you ever had that problem? Is it ever frustrating to think, again, why has this happened? Or do you just always focus on getting back out on the pitch?
No, I definitely think at times, why me? What is it I do? Like, because I consider myself to be a good professional who does all the injury prevention work, doesn't skip gym sessions or eat rubbish or stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning or anything like that. You know, I have a good routine, a good balance. So yeah, it's frustrating. Of course it's frustrating, but you know, it's something that, like, as I've got older, I just try and push that aside now, and I just focus on what I need to focus on. And that's my main focus at the minute, has to be, and just playing games, just, you know, playing football, enjoying it first and foremost, just being back on the pitch and playing and seeing what the future holds. Well, I don't know, but just to be back out playing football is you know, puts a big smile back on my face. And yeah, hopefully I can play some games and get some game time and gain a bit more momentum and rhythm and match rhythm and see what the future holds.
Awesome. Well, I think I speak for everybody. We can't wait to see you back out there.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for chatting to us, Phil.
No problem. Thank you.
That's a wrap. What a lovely man.
Phil's a great guy. Really, I really, really enjoyed that.
Me too. And I really hope that's changed some people's opinions.
Mm-hmm. Similar to what we did with Mickey Thomas, that footballers are human beings.
Absolutely.
It's very easy to forget that, especially whenever somebody who Phil hasn't been on social media for a long time. Yeah. And it might seem like it's easy just to, you know, direct certain things at him. But at the end of the day, it's a son, a father, a husband. It's difficult. Yeah.
I think social media, I mean, no one cares about my opinion, but I think social media has completely skewed how fans support their football teams. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that 20 years ago, people were going online to send abuse to players of their team. And I don't say that specific to Phil, but we saw it after the World Cup. It's really common and it's bizarre. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know it's just weird. Anywho,
when you look at Phil's achievements at this club, it's incredible. And I think I was trying to get that point across to him, that maybe because they all came so early on in his Manchester United career, maybe that's why he, you know, he has that hunger to get out and enjoy winning.
Absolutely.
Because he said that you take it for granted. Yeah. How many players have we heard
that?
They all say that.
Nobody thinks about it.
But yeah, because he did all that so young, you know, won the Premier League at 20, 21.
Yeah. Also, for those of you listening, he smells great. He's a really nice smelling man.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought
that
was important. I was struck by it when I first met him.
Were you?
And I told him when he left, you smell amazing.
You did, actually.
Yeah.
Describe the set, Chris.
Full of compliments you are.
I don't know how to describe it. It was just a treat for the nose. Like, you know your favourite food? Imagine your favourite food for your nose.
Also, the guys cutting the grass are working hard. Can we That's what the noise was in the background. Hopefully you can hear Phil over the lawnmowers. At one stage there was four lawnmowers crossing over each other.
Do you feel like that's necessary? There's not that much. I mean, I'm not an expert in grass. I know nothing about horticulture. Well, I mean, it's part of the fun, isn't it, of doing it here at Carrington. It gives people maybe a little bit more of atmosphere that, you know, we are somewhere really cool, somewhere so associated to Manchester United. We're not just sat in a room. We're here, we've got the doors open and we can see the training pitch and we can hear them cutting the grass. And if anyone was kicking a ball about or let us kick a ball about, you'd hear that too.
Phil Jones's workplace for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you could be friends with him now and you might?
I think so, but I might have made him feel uncomfortable when I told him I thought he smelled really nice.
Yeah, no, I think he ended that quite badly, actually. Yeah.
So. Wes Brown also smells great. I tell him all the time and he loves it. Do you ever meet Wes Brown? Tell him he smells nice, he'll be your friend. That's what I've worked out.
Well, as I said, I really, really enjoyed that podcast.
Me too.
I really enjoyed hearing what Phil had to say because, as you said, we haven't heard much from him in the last couple of years and he's had a lot to deal with injuries.
Yeah, absolutely loads. And yeah, hopefully that will have changed some people's opinions. Right, should we have a look at some reviews we've been left?
We shall.
Okay, I've got one here. It just says, top quality footy pod. The gang are back with a bang and keeping up the quality. And that's from Eberwine. Thank you, mate.
Thank you very much indeed. Another one, a class podcast. As a United fan, listening to great conversations with players from past and present is fantastic. The stories give great insight into playing for this great club.
And who's that from? It's Jigs a Bugle, but I just wanted you to say it. because it's a funny name. One last one from Andy, who says, great podcast of legends telling their stories of their time at Old Trafford. Peter Schmeichel's episode was the best, but being a goalkeeper and following Peter Schmeichel through his career, like the fan I am, I would say that. Fair play, Andy. If you want to leave us a review,
Sam, that was awkward because you weren't down that
I
one.
Know. I was going to mention it and then I thought, don't, it's not about me. But it does upset me. So many people, that's their favourite and I wasn't on it. Maybe that's why. If you need me gone, just send us an email. It's unitedpodcast@manunited.co.uk. That address is in the show notes. If you want to leave us a review, that would be appreciated, and you can subscribe and all those nice things. And until the next one, have a nice week.
Bye-bye.